Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Come on, get on board. You don't need a ticket. Did you think, did someone sell you a ticket? Did they? You don't need a ticket. Let me refund whatever money you paid. Don't get those. No, you don't need a ticket. Oh, you didn't pay. Oh, no. Hang on now. You got the ticket for free? Good. Well, we want to keep track. That's just to keep track, but we don't charge you or anything. Oh, thank you. Bless your heart. Can I see your ticket? May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention? Good. You've given it to me. Now, I got to tell you something. Maybe you shouldn't have done that. You don't really know who I am. Now, this was just a test to see if you'd give me your attention. You did. I'm so grateful. But I just want you to be careful who you give it to, because I could have been anybody. And now I have it. What I do is I carry two attentions with me. One of them has my soul in it, and the other is just empty. And if people confront me like that, say, give me your attention, I give them the empty one first. And then I listen to their story. And if I deem it okay, I'll open my other one and say, here, I will give you the quality attention, the kind of intention that leaves an indelible stamp upon my soul and senses, upon my memories. When you give somebody your attention, oh, I realize what you've given to me. I'm so grateful. Thank you. If you're listening to me right now, you've given me a gift which requires an almost immediate thank you note. So, gosh, I think for a lot of things, for weddings, you have a year. But if you get someone's attention, you go ahead. Now you have my attention. What are you going to do with it? And I say this. Remember the attention that you gave in school? Remember how much you learned? You learned a lot in school. Don't say you didn't. But a lot of your time was largely wasted, wasn't it? And you still feel like, yeah, I got something out of it. Well, please grant me the same patience. Grant me the same amount of time wasting on your worst day of fourth grade. How about that? And you still might learn something and walk away and say, I remember two things about that day in fourth grade. That people are complicated and fickle. And also that there's kind of cloud named Sirius or something. Cumulus, cumulonimbus. Mashy niblick. Some of these might be golf clubs from the 30s and some are clouds. But if you ever lay down in a field like that and look up and you say, that looks like a golf club. And it is, because that's a golf course. But a lot of times if you get an unobstructed view of the sky, you can see clouds. Just make sure that the field you're laying down is not someone's space where they say, oh, this is a big field where every fourth weekend we come out and recreate Kurosawa's Ron, and we'll all gather under a colorful banner and we'll come down and meet in the middle, and then we'll just have fellowship. Normally, a lot of people would have battle. We don't. We go down and we have food together, just like being with one another. Oh, there's nothing better. That's what I like doing. You say, give me your attention. And I say, I give you my attention. Yeah. Oh, you're supposed to give me your attention. I don't even know. It's a two-way thing, isn't it? I'll give you my attention, but I can't see what you're doing. That's the only problem. I try to pay attention to my fellow human beings. I give my attention to the universe as I walk by. I try not to take anything for granted. So I want to go out with my eyes open all the time. A lot of times we go out into the world as if Mission Impossible team has put a Polaroid of some scene over our security camera. So we go, everything is like it usually is. There's the alleyway behind the area where we store the government gold in a safe. But see, what happened is you've self-deluded, because that's just a Polaroid of simpler times. And you can't really see what's going on. Oh, I open my eyes. I try to notice all the time and pay attention. It's like the best kind of taxes. It's more like being a member of some club, like an auto club or something. Say, oh, if I pay attention, I'm going to get rewarded with roadside service. And what is that? That's noticing. If I notice that car coming, I can get out of the way. If I notice the seasons changing, I can go put on a coat. But I have to have my eyes open. I can help one another, other people, if I can see them suffering. If I have my eyes closed, if I pretend that everything is okay with that Mission Impossible Polaroid upon my surveillance camera, then woe to all of us. Oh, woe, woe, I say. When I say woe unto horses, though, it's different. I just want them to stop, slow down for a while. Horses get awfully excited, and that's because they see that field, and they think this one isn't being used for the recreation of wars. This one is not being used for a annual food festival, which is not bad, but I think a lot of the vendors lose money. But the horses don't know that. The horses just see a wide open space and think, I'm going to run. I'm going to run out there free. I don't have any expectations of myself. What is that? Is that a mirror? Yes. Oh, now I feel self-conscious. I can't just gallop freely in this horse pasture. I must look at myself galloping. Now I'm paralyzed because now I suddenly think, well, is that how others see me? How am I going to just frolic here under the clouds, under the blue sky, next to the black fence, across the street from the tiny road, adjacent to the neighbor farm, without thinking, oh, they're looking at me. They expect me to be more horsey. And there I'm not. Here I was doing kind of a weird thing with my hindquarters that almost made me look like a puppy. Now I can't do it anymore. I could only do it when I was free out there in that field. Oh, my friends, come with me. Walk with me. We're gonna go to a fair where nobody is exploited or hurt or anything. Oh, it's a big empty field, isn't it? Well, look, we're gonna start there. There's probably some things we could do. The booths of mocking or anything like that will not be there. That was a big hit. And also the centrifuge of pre-vomitous dizziness. That's not going to be there either. So we're going to try to have one. It's a little more gentle. See, what kind of fair is that? Is it like a Renaissance fair? Say earlier. Is it Stone Age fair? Go, whoa, 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 come on. I thought you would just go by hundreds of years or something. What era? I don't know. Actually, it's timeless. It's outside of time, this fair. And that makes it a lot easier to not be anachronistic. If you're outside of time, you're like, well, these are the type of wool pants I would wear as a time traveler. Doesn't matter where I got them, what time they're from. Everything is outside of time. Oh, time, sometimes I feel oppressed by it, tethered by it. It is like a tether. It is like an air hose. It's like I'm in an old-timey diving suit, and I've gone down to the deepest depths of human experience. But I'm conscious that there is a hose coming out of the top of my head that is pumping, not actively pumping oxygen into my suit, which would be great. It's just passively letting me breathe. And I don't think that my exhale is getting out as fast as I'd like some of the air to get in. I think we're supposed to pump air into the suit, and then the bubbles that come out are my exhale somehow. I don't know how that works. Now that I'm down here and hallucinating, I'm wondering, first of all, I'm having a moment of clarity where I'm thinking how much better the suit could have been. And then I'm also thinking, you know, there's not much we can do about time. We could have done it more efficiently. But that hose, a metaphor for time, is really always going to be there. We'll always need to breathe. We'll always need to be connected in time. In time for what? Don't call me late for dinner, as my uncle would say. It was in response to a different question, but it was still funny. I think it applies. Oh, I don't want to be called late for anything. I want to be part of the party. I want to be part of the group. I want to be accepted. I want to be loved. Who doesn't? We always want to be accepted and loved. And oh, what gets in the way? But our humanity, the very thing that makes us human, is often the thing that gets in the way from fulfilling our most human desire. And that is to be accepted and loved and part of any kind of group, even if it's small, even if it's just the three of us getting together. Please, I beg you, please do not exclude me from Thursday coffee or something like that. You know, we all have to be part of some group. There should be one you're automatically a member of, a club. I'm in that one. And I'm going to be devoted to that one. That's the biggest one. I say that, I know that that one has organizational problems because everybody's like, oh, everybody's in that one. But still, I love it. It's the most inclusive one. And so I feel like it's the most fun and interesting one. You know, what is it? Is it being a human, being alive, having senses? I'm not even sure. We welcome all those types, different types. Now, some of them do not have to bring snacks because we sign up on a snack sheet and nobody gets out of that unless you don't have, unless you're like a one-celled organism or something, one of those. Some of those, there's things that are shaped like triangles that are microscopic. And I know they can't bring Fritos or what have you, but we still want them. We still understand that they might be having an experience. Oh, it's all just an experience. I was at the movies the other day. I wasn't. I'm just saying that. But I probably was watching a television show or something. And I was watching the experience of others. And I was feeling that transmission of feelings, of experience. I'm looking through somebody else's eyes. The director. Okay. Somebody's who's spectating. The dreamer. There's somebody has a perspective and I'm looking at that. I'm there. It's like I'm right there. I know. It was it's like I'm there making the Dolomite movie. That's what it was. I was watching that movie and I thought, I feel like I'm something on a wall, a camera, another camera that goes everywhere. And maybe I'm a super, I'm an invisible voyeur with a good sense of storyline. And so I don't see anything that's not applicable to the advancement of the storyline. That'd be great. Otherwise, most of your invisible man voyeurism would just be long periods of people doing nothing, sitting silently or sleeping, something like that. You don't want that. Movies are better. It's condensed for you. All the good parts are cut out, you know, and pasted together in a montage. Right, all the boring parts are eliminated. Is that what they are? Boring parts? What is that space in between the pictures? Is that dull? Oh, I think we cut out so much space now and have so many things concentrated. The first time that I ever tasted a dried fruit in cereal, I mean a dried concentrated, let's say it's a strawberry or something, I thought, I'm going to get strawberries in all their glory with all the extraneous moisture cut out, and I will only have pure, pure flavor, the pure concentrated flavor of strawberry. And it's too much. I think it's too much. Like Coke syrup. Do you ever have Coca-Cola syrup when you're... When I was sick as a child, my grandmother would say, you need Coca-Cola syrup. And I go, oh, that'd be helpful. And how about just a couple good shots of coffee, too? I am a soda jerk, and I'm bringing you your soda. I'm the jerk, not you. I was going to say jerk, but that's not what I meant. I meant that concentrated things sometimes are too much. We need a little soda in our syrup. And I want to be sometimes that space that feels it. Oh, Hardy, what are you doing? You're feeling less like having substance like the Coke syrup and more effervescent like soda water. But the soda water is also a thing. The space is also a thing. The background of any cartoon person who does backgrounds will tell you the backgrounds are a big deal too. There needs to be a canvas on which we put those main characters. There needs to be spaces that we can go, are you? I feel like this is a dog park for your soul. Let it run free with me. I'm not going to take you any particular direction. I'm not going to tell you the story of a convict who was wrongly accused and had to investigate themselves for months, following a one-armed man until they were able to exonerate themselves through various, they'd contact lawyers anonymously or whatever until they had put their case together and they could stop running. And they're on the actual final episode of the show, the final episode of the podcast they're on there. And they, oh my goodness, what a conclusion to that. Turns out the doctor didn't do it. Turns out it was one of these one-armed creatures from another dimension. But you will not hear that from me. Not that I don't feel those things. Oh, I'm human like you are. Data. I don't know. If you're with us, you're one of us. I don't know how, maybe vacuum cleaners, anything that, what's alive? Things that talk. The washing machine lets me know with a special tune that it's done washing. It's like a cross between washer and a pachinko machine or something. But it's a sort of language, isn't it? It's saying something to me. Hardy, I have laundered your laundry. I didn't get it completely dry. That's beyond my abilities. I can spin it all day long. I'm a centrifuge like the ones at fairs that spin fairgoers until they feel sick. But you're going to have to take your laundry now and you're going to put it in something else. Something that merely dries it.
I am a dryer. I cannot launder clothing, but I'm able to take all the moisture out of it. And I do not sit around and say, I wish I could clean clothing. I can a little bit. If you put one of those dryer soft things, those sheets in there, I can make it smell clean. So in a way, I can clean it. And maybe you don't need the washer now that I'm thinking of it. Maybe just the dryer is all you need. I can bake off germs. And you can use one of these dryer fluff sheets to make it smell clean.
Well, now wait a minute, says the washer. I stand here doing my job, and I feel to... Let's talk later. Because also, you could line dry, and that would cut out you completely. So I'll vouch for you, because you're my partner. But you need to shut up about the not needing a washer, or I'm going to advocate for line drying. All right. And that's how the washer and dryer became the moon. And we know these stories because we pass them on from one generation to another. And sometimes the younger generation will pass on stories to previous generations in the form of lying about history. And then we can look back and say, look at what our ancestors have said. But it wasn't really, it was really our grandchildren said those things. I am always looking out for the stories that life is telling me. And why are stories? Stories, you say, they're a bit of a lie, aren't they? And we know this because why? Think of how untrustworthy a story is. Let's take Rashomon. It's a story about people telling different, well, what is? The story or the movie? Because the story Rashomon is actually about an old lady up in a gate stealing dead people's hair. So I don't know what to tell you. And the movie is people about having different perspectives, but that's a story too. Even they're both from Akutagawa, but I don't know what to say. Stories change. We don't know where they come from. Their truth is questionable. It's the way we see the world, but it isn't the way the world really is. It's the way we make sense of it, but making sense is just compromising. So that we'll be able to get on with things. Because you got to make sense. At the end of the day, you got to have a sandwich or something. And so you can have all the ideals in the world, but there's got to be the practicality of your existence. Oh, can I mix the practicality of my existence with the imaginative fun and magic of being self, of deluding myself? Yes. Yes, I think so. I think he can. I think it's okay. Explore what avenues of your life you can engage in self-delusion and not really cause very much harm or repercussions. That's what I say. I'm not looking forward to my deathbed, but I've made a deal with myself that I'm going to abandon reason when confronted with my imminent death. I'm going to be like, all right, I'm going to believe anything because there's nobody's going to judge me. I can just, because I would really like to feel not terrified, or something like that, fool myself into feeling a sense of contentment, or maybe even joy. Who knows? It's my last shot with my nervous system. I think I'm going to put it into overdrive. But to do that, I think I'm going to have to deny reality. But I'm all right with that. I'm going to have to wean myself off to reality anyway. Now, you have that pleasure at the beginning of your life and the end of your life, don't you, about abandoning reality? What do you do in the middle? They go, well, if I abandon reality now, Hardy, I'm in big trouble. I know you. I don't literally feel you. I feel for you or with you. I would feel you a little bit. I don't mind. I tell myself I'm not going to touch people, but I did some shoulder touching recently. Because Oh, I can't. Sometimes I can't say. It was very gentle, and I don't like to touch people without asking them, and just sometimes it doesn't come up. But I feel just a human love for others sometimes. I must be getting old. I must fear death or something. I don't know what it is. Maybe just so gratitude. That's what it is. It's gratitude that I feel when others acknowledge my humanity. And I suddenly feel, oh, thank you. There are those who do not. And so it's always, you know, I always want to encourage, and I believe in acknowledging the humanity of others. Oh, how do I go about that? Well, you could carry signs like they do at auctions and hold it up on a paddle. So I acknowledge your humanity. Hold it. It could be in a symbol. Just hold up a symbol. So, well, others won't know what that means. Yeah, but it'll remind you. It's like prayer. Maybe it's just to remind you. Maybe nobody else is going to hear it. Nobody needs to hear your reminder to yourself. You can have all sorts of symbols in your own universe so that you can navigate your way through it. You say, well, people might think I believe things literally. Oh, I know. Gosh, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you, even though. I'm trying to start with something we may or not have in common. Can you eat lettuce? Not everybody can eat everything. So if I'm going to say anything specific, someone's going to say, well, I can't. So I'll name a few things. Bread, made of anything, in case you can't have wheat. A carrot. Almost anybody can eat carrots, but some might be allergic. And what's in the thing? Celery. It sounds like you got the part of somebody's hot wings order they didn't want. Maybe that's what's going on. Say, y'all want my... I'm so embarrassed that I only got this. Why don't you guys eat the bread, the celery, and the carrots? Okay. It's a feast, though, when you don't have anything. But when you savor something, do this with a carrot sometime. You have to go hungry for a little while. Not so I'll eat anything. Cardboard will taste good. Not like that. Just don't eat for a couple hours. And then have a carrot. Make sure it's not a big, fat, woody one, because you don't want it to taste a bitter. But get one that's kind of tender and really taste the carrot. You're foolish. I don't think I am. It's going to help you interact with people. You'll taste that and try to remember what it's like to kind of focus on experiencing something without expectations. Something familiar. I know what a carrot tastes like. Of course you do. Of course you do. I know what it's like to interact with people. But I don't want to get to the point where I think that I'm tasting the carrot before it's even in my mouth. I don't want to get to the point where I think I know people before I even hear them. Before I even experience them. Oh, we like to put everybody in boxes and categories, don't we? Some people like to literally put people in containers. I know. Stop. Don't. Unless they ask for it. Or they're deceased and it's required. Then please don't. Don't put people in boxes. Don't put people on... Can you put them on shelves? I don't know. What's the context? You can't just yell things out like that. I don't know. Can you put them on birthday cakes? Or can you put them on the back of a trailer on some bales of hay and ride through the countryside? Are you talking about riding through that horse field that I described earlier? Maybe. We could have an impromptu fair there. What do you think about that? Set up some hay bales. We could put some sheets over them. And then we could set out something on the hay bales. We could set out carrots. Do you want to do that? Yeah. And we could have carrots. Cucumbers are good, too. Do you have any of those? I do. Can you ice them down? And we can walk around eating cucumbers on a stick and looking at the trees and talking about nature. And maybe we can sing some songs. I love the way that our voices sound when we're out in this field. I love how it does it. Is it echoing off anything? I hope not. One time I was out here yelling, and there's no echo, really. Your voice sorts of dies in the trees. But I was out here one time, and I yelled out something. I think I yelled out echo because I'm so meta. And I yelled it out, and I heard it. I go, echo, 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 echo. Like I'd yelled it out against the side of a big... I almost said marmalade. marble. Marble is that? You know what I was getting at the word marmoreal, marble wall. And I looked, and it wasn't a wall. It was a giant. And he looked as if he was made of stone. And he only looked that way because he's so big, you understand? So his skin looked to me impenetrable, as if it were stone. And I looked up at the giant. And I said, who are you? And he didn't say anything. I just heard my own words come back to me. And I thought, maybe I'm the giant. And then I heard, then I saw a light shine from behind me, and I felt a hand on my shoulder, and I heard, did you take drugs? Like that, and I shook out of my stupor, and it was the police. And I said, no, I'm just out here in this field. I've been overcome by my imagination. And he said, well, let me look into your eyes. I go, well, it's not going to, don't shine that thing into him. You're going to hurt me. And of course, I'm going to look deranged if you shine a flashlight in my face in the dark, sir. And he said, I'm not really the police. It's me, Charlie. I said, Charlie, I'm so mad at you right now. You scared me. Don't do that. We're out here in this dark field like that. Subsequently, consequently, you scared all the listeners as well. Because you were right there with me, weren't you, in the field? I got to be careful where I bring you, because you may be right there with me. I don't want to frighten you or anything. If I bring you somewhere, are we somewhere scary, Hardy? Don't bring me. I can't take it. No. We've gone joy fishing, and that has nothing to do with fish. We're with some place you like to go. Where's some place you think is... I like complete isolation, like maybe snowy fields forever. Snowy fields sounds like some kind of 70s lady that was on Merv Griffin, but it's not. All with sort of snowy mountains and everything. I like that. Complete, all desolate. What do you like? Oh, I like bustling Tokyo, bright lights, people, sounds. All right, let's do those two. Can we do those two things together? No, but we can take turns, maybe. Do some and then never try to water it. That's what I always say. Don't feel like you got to make a cocktail. You want some orange juice? Have some orange juice. A little later, you have some champagne. Or just have champagne. Or you can have them together in different glasses. But there's no point in mixing things together like that. Make sure that you have some variety. Make sure that you have some excitement and some boredom mixed into your life. Oh, I love that. I love to feel all the things that I think, oh, just sometimes life drags or sometimes, oh, man, I know. It's when it's awful it does that. But if it's not terribly awful and it's doing that, then you can flip it around. You see what I'm saying? If it drags, if you're in pain, no amount of willing just insist on being happy. You can't do that. So I'm not talking about that. I wish it was like that. I wish you could just... So I'm just going to think positive and not have, you know, horrible, agonizing pain or anguish. Yeah, no, it doesn't work that way. I'm talking about the things where it's up for grabs. I'm talking about the bustle, like you're just walking to work or something. Things are neutral, neither bad nor good. That's what I'm saying. Open your eyes then. That's where you can go to the other worlds. Oh, you know these TV shows that you love to watch? The one that takes you to other worlds, other places where there's adventures and there's real life or death stakes. People fighting battles and learning about each other and having powers and seeing magical sights. Oh, those were imagined by human beings like yourself. We all contain those worlds. You can see them everywhere. You can see between things. Oh, you can see right between them. You look into space. You could just stare over at the wall there, and it begins to part. It begins to part like a drape, like a curtain, and there's something just on the other side of it. There's a universe just on the other side of reality, just on the other side of it. I can see it wanting to break through. I can see the way that ordinary picture on the wall over there. I can see the tension in it, how it doesn't really know what it is. It's representing something. Is that my great-grandfather literally, or is it just a picture of him cut out of the paper? What is going on over there? I'm witnessing something. I know I must be. I'm feeling a call from the past. I'm feeling something inside myself that says, am I like that face over there of my ancestor who I never met? We are not connected in touch. We never looked into each other's eyes and said, I am your future, I am your past. We had intermediaries. His son, my mother. We all knew one another. And we all looked in one another's eyes. He's looking away from me right now on the wall. But I'm staring into him, staring past. I'm staring into the past. I'm staring through time. It's right on the other side of that wall. I know it is. I feel it. I can see it. I can't remember how many times I just looked over there and didn't notice anything. I can't believe I've gone all this time never seeing that. How many more things am I missing by expecting to see things? Instead of being still, being quiet.
Do not be quiet on the radio, though, sir. I'll try not to be. I know I don't want to take your attention and then lay it over here and it gets mold on it or something. You got to flip it over. I'm doing you no favor if I just take your dog and then don't feed it. That's nothing. You will watch my dog?
Yes, I will literally watch it because this is a Bennett Cerf joke. No, it's not. You mean... By watch it, I mean feed it. Take it out to go potty. Ask it if it has to go potty. Spend some time with it. Pet it. Interact with it. That's what I mean by watching it. So when you say, you're going to give me your attention, I don't just mean I have to constantly keep you in a state of alertness. But on the other hand, I don't want to put you on a shelf like that. If you're say, oh, well, I will babysit, too. You say, oh, babysitting a child, just putting it in a chair like that. You're supposed to entertain it. Show it a movie. Get it a pizza. Do you want a pizza? You want me to get a pizza? I'm good, Hardy. Are you sure? Sometimes my grandmother would say pizza, and it would confuse my friends. And I've confessed that before. And so now I say it. I try to confuse people by saying, I don't know why she said that. Do y'all have that? Did y'all have grandmothers that did that? Said pizza instead of pizza. It's like she didn't get that. And you could say it. You go, you mean, I'd love some pizza. Graham, I'll have some pizza. And she goes, all right, two pizzas. Like that. I don't know why she wasn't listening on purpose. And sometimes I don't know whether others are not listening on purpose or whether I'm saying it wrong. Maybe I'm doing things wrong. How many interactions do we have with others like that? We go, gosh, I'm doing it one way, they're doing it another way. Are we both wrong or one of us wrong? How do I live my life? How do I interact with others? How do I make you like me? How do I make you like me? How do I make you respect me? I gotta trick you. The chances that I would be smarter or funnier or more clever than everybody listening are slim. So some of it's got to be trickery. I'll have to trick some people. Some people I'll have to just appeal to their pity, maybe say, please give me your attention regardless of my abilities. No, see, all of those seems like losing propositions to me. I think I have a better chance of doing this, pleading with you to change how you give your attention. To be more patient. And you say, well, now these are not patient times. These are times that call for great action. And I would say to you this. What? I'm getting to it. Just say it. See? See the problem? You're getting worked up about getting the answer.
You need it now. To get on to what? The next question? To get on to what? I feel it. I feel it in my bones, the anxiousness of everybody to have things resolved and then go back for another fix, another problem. Addicted to difficulties and problems because they want the payoff of the resolution in the form of dramatic action. When so much of life is slow. And it's better when it's slow. Believe me. People say that all the time. How are things going? You go, is it uneventful? Thank God, uneventful. Events aren't always great. Sometimes they're great, like weddings and things like that. But sometimes events, like catastrophic fires, an event. You don't want an event like that. Now, they do happen in life, and life throws you that kind of excitement, and granted, the real life does not have the detachment of art. You cannot experience a war or a fire in real life and not be forever changed or have your life in danger the way you can in art. But there's other things that challenge or confuse or mystify or convey beauty than the obvious.
Radio announcement. Attention, people of the world and surrounding environs. As of now, you are free. I have not granted you that freedom. That freedom is not grantable. Hardy White loves you. I don't care one way or another about you. And Lou would like a ride to wherever you're going. And I have a question. And Don has questions. Just the one. Now that I'm not a house anymore, I don't know where the... I also don't know what it's called.
What's it for?
A task.
What sort of task?
I'm not trying to be obtuse here, but it's the kind of task requiring the type of thing I can't remember the name of. I've gone off into a tautological corner here.
Well, you'll think of it.
Dust mop. Hall utility closet by the bathroom.
Dust mopping. Yeah, I can see what you were stuck on.
I mean, it's not mopping, it's not dusting. What are you supposed to call it?
People of the Earth, the struggle to perform the most ordinary tasks is real and can be enormous. It is difficult to convey simple ideas, much less complex ones. What's this?
It's a feelings transference machine.
It's sparkly.
You can paint them whatever color you want.
Cool.
That is a powerful and problematic device, Butchie.
You know how we're always comparing emotional pain thresholds?
No.
Well, not consciously. But we're always wondering if the other person's feelings are as deep as ours. Now you can know.
Oh, heck no.
Why?
I'm pretty sure one's feelings are just for oneself. You can't go about comparing them like that. Well, who knows?
But what if I could convey to you the intense feelings of cosmic enormity I feel when confronted with the beauty of a flower or a fire orange sky, how every nerve in my skin and deeper is charged with electricity, and the sentence heightened to the point that the flutter of leaves and the wings of an insect are a symphony of emotional thunder.
Art is the feelings transference machine, isn't it?
Yeah, and also the box gives you a zit so you think it's technology doing it and not your senses.
Attention. Radio listeners of the world, the following and previous broadcast segments deal with strong themes of friendship and misunderstanding. While all views are welcome, we are going to be awfully busy and may not get around to hearing your views, which I'm sure are varied and human and magical.
I'm not a big Ravel guy.
Cleveland is... Bolero is good.
Butchie, it's travel.
Oh, I'm not a big travel guy.
Cleveland is good. I went there one time.
I mean, this trip in particular.
Well, nobody wants to go on a luxury holiday, man. But sometimes you have to do things for others. And sometimes just showing up is a big deal.
Well, I'm here grudgingly for sure.
You're everywhere grudgingly.
Nope. Question. The airport room.
You're soaking in it.
What's its purpose?
The white noise generator wasn't working for Butchie anymore, but he can always fall asleep in airports.
This is certainly a realistic, though small, recreation of an airport gate.
It's modeled after a real one in the Bahamas. but we say it's Cincinnati.
It's a super small airline, so they have a gate and a guest bedroom.
Well, that's brilliant. Sleep tight, Butchie.
Right, Don.
Oh, and bon voyage.
Butchie, I'm going to pop over to Concourse D and grab a cabbage wrap.
Okay, I'll guard your stuff.
Thanks.
So, that helps him sleep, does it?
Works every time. This and the long car trip simulator. Which is way preferable to the real thing, because a few seconds after he falls asleep there, I have to scream, "No, Butchie, oh God, let me drive!" Don, do me a favor. Hand this slip of paper to Hardy when you see him.
Well, why can't you just hand it to him yourself?
Yeah, Lou, why can't you just hand it to me yourself?
I'm sorry. I've been meaning to tell you.
Opens note. The black spot. What's that?
It's a curse from pirates. No big deal.
Hardy?
Oh, no, it's no big deal.
That sounds like a big deal.
They've been dead for hundreds of years, right, Lou?
Yep.
Lou?
Well, that's a relief. No way they could curse you from the past.
Which is where they are right now, right, Lou?
Yep, huh?
In the past.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you hand me the note?
Oh, I'm past, Lou. I'm not supposed to be here.
Oh, no. I thought we resolved all that years ago. You promised to never use the time machine alone again.
I bet I did. I totally promised that right now. However...
Well, I remember everything you did. But you never mentioned anything about going into the future.
I was embarrassed, I guess. Or maybe you asked me not to.
Well, that's a good point. Okay, so the pirates are here?
Yep. Treasure Island variety. Whistling Lily Bolero and drinking rum. But it's clear and smells like leaves.
Yes, that's them. All right, well, I'll speak with the captain of the pirate ship and get him content with the idea of living out his life hundreds of years in the future. And maybe shifting to theme restaurant work.
Captain Durr would make a great maitre d' and host. I might even apply for a server job.
Lou? Lou, watch out.
A lot of times when I'm feeling... Lou's fine. A lot of times when I'm feeling blue or afraid or something, I like to visualize things. And a thing that always comforted me as a child was thinking about having my own pirate ship. Now, I didn't know what pirates were really, so I didn't, you know, it wasn't as... In my imagination, pirates didn't do anything bad, really. I guess they had drinking problems, but they were more, they more just drove around and went to inns and things like that. I didn't want to think about bad things. If they stole stuff, it was stuff that deserved to be stolen. But I'd have my own pirate ship, and I'd go to some island, and I'd take the little dinghy up on a beach, and there I'd be in this secluded space, my own little island. I wasn't the only one there. This is like a bunch of timeshares and stuff, but for that week, it's my own little island. And there's a lot of other people there because a lot of people have that same fantasy. It's not Fantasy Island. That's a different one. This is Fantasy Island with a small F and I. But other people like to do it. That's the thing about sometimes the things that you desire, other people also desire, and it can be very crowded there. So I want to desire something that's off the beaten path. I want to desire something that others maybe don't, just so it's less crowded. I want to get an affinity for something that's unpopular. And that way I won't be in this mob that's clamoring for it. Yes, but then you deal with the availability. What do you mean? Well, let's say you like something that is not very popular. It's not going to be readily available, maybe, or maybe there won't be a shuttle that goes there if it's a place. That's a very good point. That's a trade-off. You're right. So if I like something that's not tremendously popular,
like let's say there's no, you want a DVD of The Goodies or something. I don't, that may exist. I could probably get that. Well, let's say it doesn't. All right. But it was popular, so don't scratch that.
But it might not be popular in the United States with everybody.
Good point. So it wouldn't be in a store.
Right. But you could go to the store and find something else. A box set of Are You Being Served or something. I don't know. These are not good. I don't make good comparisons like that. Why is that? Things must be jumbled in my brain.
I think that's a good indication that I'm not thinking straight. But the good thing is I'm letting you know about my own language. So, you know, when I say something like that, it's a key to my understanding. It's like a Rosetta Stone for my idiosyncratic internal language. And then you'll know it. Say, I speak hearty. I know what he means. Our families are like that, aren't they? So I know what Dad means by jacket. He doesn't mean jacket. He means that weird blanket that's also a bathrobe. Yes, he's saying jacket, but that's not what he means. I know what he means. I know what hearty means when he says free. I know you can not be free and not have free will. Isn't that a contradiction? Everything's a darn contradiction. Oh, everything's a paradox. It's time. Time is doing it. Something is true one minute and not true the next. And you say, how can something be true and not true at the same time? It's not true and true, not true at the same time. It's true and not true right next to one another. It's virtually the same time, but that's the problem. If everything was frozen, it would be frozen in truth. But it's not frozen in truth. It's frozen in, it's not frozen at all. It's flowing in change. Oh, flowing in change like the jackpot coming out of a big one-arm bandit. Look at all those coins flowing out of there. That's change. You're riding on one of them. You're surfing on a dime that's coming out of that machine. And it's brimming. It's brimming with coins. And so you are catapulted over the side. And there you're surfing on your giant dime. It's giant to you because you're little. There you are standing on FDR's head, cruising over the carpeting. The gold and red patterns of the casino carpeting are under you like they're the earth, hundreds of miles below your feet, on your big silver air surfboard that is a U.S. dime. Oh, you've hit the jackpot. But it's all about change, because you're floating one minute, you're going to crash the next. Yeah, I'm crashing, but like D.B. Cooper, I'm crashing with all this money. It still doesn't matter. You are a millionaire until you hit the ground. And then you're a dead millionaire. And that's not a millionaire at all. But I'll tell you, if you are once something, you are something. That's the thing about time. Don't let it trick you. Well, what have you done lately? Doesn't matter. Oh, it doesn't undo the good you've done in your past. So I'm not the person I was. No one is, and you won't be the person you are. So what do we do? Just keep on walking. I can't walk, then keep on sitting. I will keep on keeping on with you, though, because I'm your friend. Hearty White is your friend. Look over there. What? What'd you take? I didn't take anything. Why'd you make me look over there, and then there wasn't anything there? Nothing. What'd you do while I was turning my head? I didn't do anything. Well, then why did you do that? I was just funning. I just wanted you to look over there to see if I could do it. I'm sorry. I didn't steal anything or do anything behind your back. I don't have any ulterior motives. Oh, no. If I do anything, I'm not manipulative, at least. I'm manipulative in that, like, if I'm on a stage and I'm pretending to be a general, then I want you to think I'm a general. But that's not, is that really manipulative or is that just acting? I don't mind you thinking I'm something I'm not if there's no harm to it. And I've seen plays, they even let children watch theater. So it can't be that bad. Right? What are the plays that we show to children?
Oh, children's plays.
Can you name one of them?
The Little Frog, they make them up.
Yeah, they make them up in nursery school and elementary school and stuff because I guess there aren't a lot written expressly for 5 or 6 years old. So they have to write. So a lot of times the teachers will have to write them. Imagine how many have been written, though, by elementary school teachers over the years. How many tiny little plays for very young children there are that we've never heard of. While we know the catalog of Shakespeare and we know all the plays, all of us can name all of Beckett's plays, but can we name the plays of these elementary school teachers who have written them for the very young children that they know, and they will watch them perform these. and they will watch them as they're transported to a different place and learn how to do that? Are they going to forget? Will they forget how to journey to other worlds, these children, after they start being a tree? So you can do that in elementary school.
What's your part? I'm the tree. The tree? Tree's not a role. We'll just get an actual tree for that.
No, no, no. No, 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 no. In this play, the tree and the religious refugee are the same. They both have speaking parts. The religious refugee, the tree, the animal, they will all speak. They all have a voice. They may not in real life, but in theater for the very young, for children, the tree and the religious refugee and the animal all have a voice. And they could be any one of those. Any one of those roles could be their experience, and they will learn what it feels like to be a tree, to be a religious refugee, to be an animal. What kind of animal? I don't know. Turkey, a donkey. They do them all. A bird. Will there be wire work? Wire work for very small children? Well, I mean, they're kind of light. Be easier. All right, keep talking. So we put the harness on the very small child. I'm feeling like I'm not against the insurance industry, but I feel like if somebody was here from that, they'd chime in. Say, I don't know, that seems risky. Do I want to risk a child like that? Probably not. We've been using our imagination up to now. Do you want to keep up with the imagination stuff? Yeah, we can do that with imagination? Yes. That's why I don't tell, because there's no pictures with my show, I cannot tell you the money I save on CGI. Because you all been doing, you do the work for me. Listen, I'm going to fly right now. Flying, I'm flying through the air, my arms are out. They're like an airplane, they don't have to be, I just put them out there because I don't know what to do with them. You know what I'm saying? When you're flying, you go, what do I do? It's so awkward, what do I do with my arms? You put them in your pocket, you look really dumb. That looks really dumb. I mean, you'll still fly, even with your hands in your pocket, but I just put them out to the side like I'm using them for something. I'm steering like that with my fingers, with the subtle motion of my hands. I'm like a bird. But really, I could fly anyway. I could sit in cross-legged position with my hands behind my head, kind of recline like that and fly like I'm Will Smith flying through the air or something like that. See? But really, so I put my hands out, and I fly like just an airplane looking down because that's what we're most used to. And I will soar. Are you with me? Are you soaring with me? I'm just going to sit on your back. I'm going to make myself small and sit on your back. Is that all right? That's fine. Do you have one of those folding chairs that you take to watch your kids play soccer? You know what I mean? The kind that folds up and then goes in a bag? Bring one of those. Bring a cooler. Right on my back. We can fly over, oh gosh, anywhere. Anywhere and everywhere. We can fly over any city you've ever been over. Well, I don't know what they look like. Just imagine it's all lights and then the lights down there and look like taillights are red, they're going away. The headlights are coming towards you, they're white. Red rivers, white rivers. That's what it looks like. Looking down a canyon. All brightly lit. Imagine there was a canyon, and the canyon was covered with gems, gemstones that reflected the smallest bit of light. And at the bottom of that canyon was a red electric river and a white electric river. And you're watching them flow. Imagine that.
I am, Hardy. Thank you.
If you fall asleep, that's fine. I put many to sleep. I'm so torn because I know some of you are driving and some of you are resting in bed. Who do I pander to? Right? So if I say, well, I'm just going to put everybody to sleep. I'm just going to keep everybody up. The person in the bed, it won't be pressing danger. I mean, it'd be annoying, but I guess they can turn it off. But I don't know. I don't know what you need. I try to have everything. That's why we have a variety. It's so difficult. Varieties are limiting, though. Did you buy the variety? I'm going to buy the variety cracker pack. I'm having a party. And I don't know which one of the box of crackers to buy, so I'm going to buy the variety one. There's a certain brand that has cookies, or crackers, or whatever, biscuits in your variety pack that are not available separately. I'm not going to say that. I feel awkward saying the name of the company. But that bothers me a little bit. But anyway, you get these variety packs, and they've got a little bit of everything in them. But they don't maybe have as much of one thing that you want. It's Cars, Table Water. I'm just going to say it. So I get that. I love it. But what about those sweet kind of cheese crackers? Those are not available? Could somebody get back to me from Cars? Is that in England? I'm just write the company. Nobody do anything. I'll do it. I'll handle this. Thank you. I'm going to handle it for you, Hardy. No. I'll do it myself. I should never have mentioned it. I could even make them. That's the thing. I could probably try to make my own slightly sweet cracker.
That's what you are.
Oh, come on now. You're sweet too. And I have so many friends. And it's not because I'm lovable or anything. It's because people are beautiful and merciful. And they are grateful. And they are generous and loyal and wonderful. That's why I have so many friends. I'm not saying I don't deserve them any more than any other living creature, the friends I have. But I just feel like sometimes the more people you meet, the more good people you meet. Maybe is that just math? I'm discouraged until I meet actual human beings. And then I'm encouraged because so many of them are so beautiful. And maybe if they're not consistently so, they're capable of so much amazing beauty. And they're, at the very least, they're interesting almost all, 100% of the time. And being alive is a big deal, friend. And if you think you're not doing it right or well, you are in a fantastic club, the biggest one there is. And so know in your heart that just being alive, being a human being, is an amazing thing. And that I understand that, and many do. And we feel a love and kinship for you because we understand what it's like to be alive. Oh, my friends, I'm handing my heart out. Here, take some of it. What am I do with it? I don't know. Rub it on your head or something. Rub your heart on my head? I don't know. I've never taken it out before. I'm worried it's not going to go back in, so I'm kind of distracted. I'm not literally taking it out, though. I'm handing it out. I'm handing out love to you. I'm saying, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm saying things so you'll stay distracted and you keep looking over here and I can tell you how great you are. How about that? That's good enough. Don't overthink it. Just let me tell you how wonderful you are. And how we're just happy that you're here and alive at the same time as we are. I'm speaking for a lot of people. Believe me, I am. And I know I am. I bet you saying that, I don't know how you get in touch with me. But you should get in touch with me and say, I'm also speaking with that voice, saying that I understand, fellow human, and that I'm reaching out and that you're cared about, fellow human, and that this message is coming from not just me, but from many, 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 many other creatures that are alive at the same time as you are. And you might need to hear that message. So I know the ones that support the station, they feel that. So we're all reaching out to you. If you're in a time of need right now, feel our energy. And I hope that buoys you and lifts you up in this difficult journey you're on. And I hope that you laughed a little and cried a little and got a little, maybe got gassy or something. Something I said made you feel a little bit gassy or weird, or your stomach made a weird noise, I hope, while you were listening. And I hope it does that again next week. Thank you so much, friends. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. Thank you for listening, and I will see you again next week. And I would know.
But this song reminds me of a long time ago, when we'd make our way down a long dusty road to a church that set way back in the woods. When you get there, you can hear that old choir. They were singing the same song, and they were saying, "Take me to the war." I believe that what they were saying, children. Just take me to the water. Oh, oh yeah. Oh, take me to the water. Oh, to the
wow. To be baptized.
Oh yeah. In the sadness too. I know I've got room. Anything else in this world. I know I've got religion.
To me, y'all. Said the war in Vietnam, war in Saigon, war in Indochina, they fighting down in Louisiana, war down yonder in Georgia, they fighting down in Alabama, war in New York City. Mighty, 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 sad, sad. Y'all, it's so sad.